said a man at all can't let himself be treated this way. If he's a man at all, he won't let himself be treated that way. So now he's out running, long chain on, probably gone down to the saddle. Cause this woman's on the saddle. So pull him easy, quiet and slow, and row him on across to the saddle. This woman's over on the saddle. His only refuge is the saddle.
Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now, as I mentioned in the last segment, I had a conversation with Yvonne Grosvenor, who is one of the sweetgrass basket makers over on Sapelo. Actually, she's a master basket maker that lives on Sapelo. Now, this show is all about the tradition of sweetgrass basket making and how important it is to the African-American culture, in particular, the Lowcountry areas of South Carolina and Georgia. And this story also has what I like to think of as a bit of a love story to it, because Yvonne is on Sapelo because she married someone from Sapelo, Arjean Grosvenor. And his family has been on the island for 9 generations. And when she moved over and they had their family, she decided to continue this tradition because she could see how important it was, that the arts and crafts of it is important, but also the cultural traditions of it are equally as important. And she wanted to continue that. So I want to share my conversation with Yvonne, starting with my asking her just how she got started with making sweetgrass baskets.
So Yvonne, thank you so much for joining me to talk about making sweetgrass baskets. I mean, they're so beautiful, and I know that they are a big item, a very popular item when people visit the Lowcountry, which is mostly where they're made, that, you know, people want to take one home for a souvenir. So tell me, how did you get started with making sweetgrass baskets?
Okay, because I moved to the island about 40 years ago, and Alan Green, which is my husband's uncle, I admire how he does the basket, and I know it's a tradition that came from Africa, and I liked it, the basket. So I always wanted to learn how to do it since I moved to the island. But at first, Mr. Green, he refused. He said, no, I'll take it to my grave. He will never teach anybody how to do it until they gave him a grant. He got a grant to teach some of the people on the island how to do the baskets. Mm-hmm. So, once he got the grant, he taught some of it. It's been about 5 or 6 of us. He taught us how to do the basket.
With Mr. Green being such a renowned basket maker, I was interested in Yvonne sharing how it was to actually learn from and work with Mr. Green. Here's what she had to say.
And he was a real, real nice old man. If you could understand most of the stuff he said, because when you talk to him, he talked real geeky. And you have to really, really talk to him, really listen to him good for you to understand a lot of stuff he said. And I lived here around him for at least 12, 13 years before he passed away. And a lot of time I go there, I used to ask him at least 2 times, Mr. Green, what did you say? And he'll tell you what, you know, if you listen to him good, you'll know what he's saying. Because it was real Southern Geechee. And he was a real famous basket maker. He had a basket now at the Smithsonian Museum, and he was the famous basket maker for Sapelo. And when I first learned to do a basket, like starting the basket off like this from the beginning, it took, that's the hardest part on making a basket. And it took me the longest to learn to make it. So every time I used to finish one basket, I'd go to Mr. Green and ask him, can you start me another basket? Until he told all of us, we need to learn to start it, otherwise he's going to charge us $5 for each one of these when he starts one. And that helped us learn to start them.
Yvonne also shares how a Reynolds Foundation grant helped her start working with the children on the island. Here's what she had to say.
And so what I did, I wrote to the Reynolds Foundation about 5 or 6 years afterward, and they gave me a grant because, you know, this is a dying art, and this is something that you don't want to die out. So I asked the Reynolds Foundation, I wrote the grant, and they gave me a grant to teach the kids here on the island how to weave the basket.
Oh, wow.
So I taught some of the kids here, and now, you know, a lot of them graduated from high school to leave the island. So, mm-hmm. But I teach my granddaughter, and she knows how to do it. I taught my husband, so he does it. So we still is trying to keep it going. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, it's one of those cultural traditions that you definitely don't want to die away. Because you mentioned that this tradition or this skill of making these baskets comes all the way from Africa, you said, right?
Yes.
So from West Africa, I'm sure, you know, our ancestors knew the skill and literally brought it over with them because they knew how to make it and started making them when they were over here, you know, working on the, you know, in the plantations and everything.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you said Mr. Green was a little hesitant to teach him. Did he ever say why he was hesitant?
No, he never said why he didn't want to teach all. He said, no, I'll take it to Green. Even if you go to Charleston and you see the ladies and the guys along Mount Pleasant, they sit inside a row weaving a basket, and you can stop there, and, you know, they'll be weaving. But if you notice, when you stop there and talk to them, they're not going to let you see them do the baskets.
Okay.
Most time most of them won't let you see how they do it. Until one day when I went up, I showed them, I said, well, see, I make the basket also. So, you know, then there was more thing of letting you see them. But a lot of times they don't let you see them when they're making the basket either.
Well, it kind of sounds like, you know, maybe they have a sense of wanting the tradition to kind of stay within the culture.
Uh-huh.
You know, meaning that if you're not, you know, Geechee or you're not Gullah,
yeah,
then, you know, they want to kind of protect it so that it stays within the particular culture in terms of how to make it.
Uh-huh.
But now, I know that I have gone with you years ago to gather the materials to make the baskets. You're not just, you know, buying material from somewhere. You actually go out and actually harvest and gather the materials out in the wild. So tell me a little bit about that whole process and what it is you're looking for.
Yeah, everything that the basket are made from are grown right here on the island. I don't buy anything. So I go out and, you know, I go out and cut the grass. And when you go out and cut this grass is green. It's not a marsh grass. It's grown mostly around fresh water or something like that, fresh water ditches or near the fresh water. And you cut the grass. You have to let it dry before you use it. And also the binding, what holds the grass together, is called salt to palmetto. And you have to cut the palmetto. You have to shave the palmetto down. That's why it's a lot of hours in making these baskets.
Well, yes, it sounds like just the time and going out, because if you're going to the freshwater areas, I mean, you can also possibly encounter gators and
the
mosquitoes and gnats and everything. Have you ever run across anything when you're out there gathering the?
Oh yeah, especially mosquitoes. I never came across a gator when I'm gathering grass, but. And you also have to look out for snakes, especially with the sawtooth palmetto, because rattlesnakes, they love to make their dens, you know, and they love to live in the middle of those, you know, palmetto. So you always have to look out when you go out to cut this thing.
Well, definitely you want to be on the lookout for that.
Now, during our conversation, she mentions that she taught the kids on the island, and I wanted to know if she also taught her family members. So she shared a bit about that, but she also shared in another conversation that I had with her that when her children would ask for things like shoes or sneakers or things like that that they wanted, she would always tell them that they would have to make a basket and sell a basket in order to get those things. So she was really giving them a lot of incentive to learn how to make those baskets so that all of the things that they wanted, they could buy them with their own money that they had made from making sweetgrass baskets. That was really a very incentivized way to make sure that they learn how to make the baskets and keep that tradition going. Now, this isn't all of my conversation with Yvonne. We'll stop here and take a break, but when we come back, I'll continue with my conversation and ask her some more questions about how she is continuing the tradition of sweetgrass basket making here on Sapelo Island. But really, you'll hear in our continued conversations that she's taking this skill not only to the Lowcountry, but sharing it with others so that the tradition does not die. Now, back in a moment here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now, the show is brought to you by the Sapelo Island Birdhouses. Check out their website at sapeloislandbirdhouses.com. Back in a moment here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends.
I'd rather live in his world than live without him.